Greetings, everyone, and welcome to the Law Hour Editorial Review. The Law Hour is sponsored by the Gordon Law School of Isabel, Missouri. The Law Hour is an educational service brought to you in the public interest. I'm your narrator, George Gordon. The Law Hour and Editorial Review is heard nationally and internationally 7 days a week here in the United States and in more than 112 countries around the world over the Internet. For more information about the Law Hour and Editorial Review, please visit our webpage at georgegordon.org. Again, that's georgegordon.org. Now, the Law Hour and Editorial Review brings you important information about law, science, education, politics, religion, health, history, economics, news, and current events. So stay tuned for tonight's special report on the secret guide to health when we come back. Hey, are you concerned about your privacy? Well, how much does your government know about you anyway, and how much do you want your government to know about you? Well, our government only knows as much about us as we tell them about ourselves, and everything that government, industry, or business knows about you is because you told them. Now, our Fourth Amendment protects us in our person, houses, papers, and effects, but it doesn't protect us from ourselves. Now, can we have privacy in the computer age? The answer is yes, we can. And that's because information is gathered and stored in a very reasoned and very logical manner for later retrieval and use. Now, it's knowing how much information is gathered, what information is being stored, and what information you want to keep personal and private that actually puts you in the driver's seat in your quest for privacy. And always keep in mind that no one knows anything about you that you have not revealed by your own hand or your own mouth. Now, if you'd like to learn more about privacy and privacy issues, why don't you call and ask for our free general law CD package? That's the place to start. It's a four-hour program. It's entertaining. It's informative. It's educational. Best of all, it's free. You can call and order one right now. The number to call is 417-273-4967. Again, that's area code 417-273-4967. Now, if you're online, you can go to our website at georgegordon.org, georgegordon.org. Just click on the email and then send us an email request for that free general law CD package. Again, that's georgegordon.org, or call us direct at 417-273-4967. Do it right now while you're thinking about it before you forget. All right, the secret guide to health. Who is Wayne Green? One of my students asked me the other day, said, do you know Wayne Green? I said, I don't think I do. Now, Red Green I know, and Harold up at the Possum Lodge gang you know up in Canada, but this Wayne Green, he's up close there. He's in New Hampshire. Wayne Green. Well, no, I didn't know anything about Wayne Green. He wrote a book. Evidently, this guy's written a bunch of books, and he handed me a book. He says, here, let me leave this with you, and you read this and see what you think of it. And I read it, and I said, gee, let's make a report on it. Let's review it. On the fly cover, listen to this. There are no incurable diseases. Now, that was a statement made by Dr. Lorraine Day. You probably have heard of her. She was a pediatric surgeon in San Francisco General Hospital, and she got cancer one day. And so, you know, she went to the doctor. You know, doctors go to the doctors. And the doctor said, well, here's what we've got to do. And she, being a doctor, knew what the statistical odds were. And she said to herself, I guess she said, you know, I better come up with a better solution than this because the chances of me surviving this cancer aren't good. So she went through what we call in the trade the alternative health cure route, alternative medicine. It's called quackery, witchcraft. There's a number of names that we hang on this branch of medicine. Medicine, maybe that's the wrong term, healthcare. Or something on that order. Well, anyway, she cured the cancer herself, cheaply, inexpensively. Now, cancer today costs $340,000. Now, I've been reporting to you that it costs $100,000, but I'm behind the times. And now the price is up to $340,000. That's the average cost for treating cancer, $340,000. Well, I just got that number out of the book here, Secret Guide to Health. Now, that's as of 2003. And the last time I saw a number, you know, some years back, you know, it was $100,000 a year. I don't know when that was, you know, probably sometime before 2003. Now listen to this. Here's another neat statement out of the book. When Dr. Richard Eby, a well-known medical leader, went to the AMA and he asked why they hadn't done any research on primitive societies where the people have no cancer. And he was told by the AMA's chief counsel that the purpose of the AMA, if he had taken the time to read the AMA's bylaws, was to protect the income of its members. And since their biggest income was from cancer, if ever a cure for cancer was found, this would eliminate their main source of income. So the AMA would make sure that no cancer cure was found and that no cancer cure would be allowed to be recognized in America, period. You ever heard that story before? I've heard that. You know, I've read in the literature where the people have made reference to it. But this guy, Green, went to the source and actually pulled it out and said, well, here's who said what and here's when he said it. And the book is written, it's just a small book. I'm going to look at the pages here. We're talking about 235 pages, you know, max, you know, 237 pages. And it's written like the Reader's Digest. And it has over 200 stories, you know, just a little short vignettes, with a source of information. So I'm going to review the book. I'm just going to pick out, you know, 30, 40 of these little vignettes, things that caught my attention, you know, the shockers, you know, that grab your eyeballs, you know, like this Richard Eby, a medical leader, goes to the AMA chief counsel and says, how come we don't go to Nepal and look at those people and then ask the question, how come these Nepalese people do not get cancer? Why don't we go to the Hunzas and ask them, well, why is it that you people live to be 100 in greater numbers than the people in New York or Pennsylvania? And then let's see if these people are doing something or if they've got some magic elixir like the Fountain of Youth, you know, Ponce de Leon, I think it was, or DeSoto, or somebody's looking for this thing called the Fountain of Youth. I think that was in the Garden of Eden, and it was called the Tree of Life. And I think we've been chasing after rainbows and fairies ever since. But moral to the story here is that there are people around the world in small groups, small clusters, that aren't plagued by the same diseases that we have here in the United States or Australia or Canada. And the question arises, well, why not? Why not? From the time we're little children, we're taught that you're walking down the street and you got your mouth open and you're inhaling with your mouth. I was told as a little kid, you should always breathe through your nose so that you're not sucking in these bacteria and microbes out of the air. Because when I was a little kid, we didn't know what caused polio. And we didn't know what the problem was with tuberculosis. And so we thought, you're just walking down the street and you were the unlucky guy. Had his mouth open at the wrong time and you sucked in this germ and it gave you this disease. Now, the truth of the matter is you've got an immune system. And your immune system, if it's working at 50-75% probably, will probably take pretty good care of you. But when your immune system becomes impaired, then when these opportunistic germs get started in your body, like E. coli, you know, you go down and eat a hamburger, and E. coli gets into your body, and because of your weakened immune system, it kills you or comes close to it. Now, there's other people that are eating that same hamburger, and they're unaffected by it. You want to remember that the hamburger that's there in the freezer at the Big Boy or at the McDonald's, wherever it is that you got this E. coli, was being eaten by other people. And they didn't get sick. And that's because their immune systems were working. Now, when your immune system gets down to where it's not working, up the snub over here, well, then you'll get disease. The only way your body can cure disease is with your immune system. There isn't any other way. Drugs don't cure. Penicillin does not cure your pneumonia. It kills off a lot of bacteria that your immune system doesn't have to kill off. So it gives your immune system a jump start, is what it does. But in the final analysis, every germ in your body has to be killed by your immune system. So bottom line over here is then, why is it that the AMA doesn't want a cure to cancer? Now, I've reported on this program a number of times. There are 14 cures to cancer that we know of. I'm just a crummy plumber. And I know of 14 cancer cures. 14. Got that? 14. Cures cancer like a shot. Now, cancer is not good. I'm not here to tell you that it is, but cancer is like constipation. It's curable. Now, if you've got cancer, you probably need a little help to get over it. If you've got constipation, you probably need a little help to get over it. But it isn't fatal. It isn't a life-threatening problem unless you go to an AMA medical doctor. Then the guy looks at you and he says, well, we don't know what causes cancer. We don't know how to cure it, but we do have a treatment for it. It's $340,000, and we'll get after it. If you happen to survive for 5 years, we call that a cure. Then when you die in the 6th, 8th, or 10th year, well, that's a recurrence for which you died. Now, a cure to cancer is when you have cancer and it goes away and it doesn't come back. Or if it comes back, you cure it again and again and again and again. Now, my wife's had cancer for 30 years, and she treats it holistically. She treats it naturally. She treats it with diet and the Gerson formula and so on. And she's survived now for 30 years, it's a nuisance. It's a bother. It's something you have to take care of every day. But it's not fatal. She'll probably die one of these days. She's an old lady, like I am an old man, but, you know, one of these days she's going to kick off, no doubt about it. We hope that she dies from natural causes rather than the cancer. But, you know, the fact that 30 years ago the doctors gave her about 3 months to live. He said, you know, this is really advanced. It's very aggressive. And kind of like Ted Kennedy the other day, he was diagnosed with a brain cancer. Now, Ted Kennedy could be cured of that brain cancer. I mean, he could cure himself. That brain cancer up there can be reversed. But he's going to go to the doctors, and the doctors are going to give him chemotherapy, and that's going to suppress his immune system. Well, hell, the last thing you need to do is suppress your immune system when you got cancer. You got to build your immune system. You know, that's just common sense. And that's what this guy, Wayne Green, says. He says it's simple, it's obvious, it's just plain common sense. You don't have to be a Rhodes Scholar to figure this out. So let's take a look at a couple, three of these. These are kind of funny. So that AMA charter over there I thought was pretty good. Let me run that one by you again. This AMA charter. When Dr. Richard Eby, a well-known medical leader, went to the AMA and asked why they hadn't done any research on primitive societies where the people have no cancer, he was told by the AMA's chief counsel. Now, chief counsel means their chief lawyer. for the AMA. He said the purpose of the AMA, if you read its bylaws, is to protect the income of its members. And since their biggest income comes from cancer, if ever a cancer cure was found, it would eliminate their main source of income. So the AMA would make sure that no cancer cure was found or allowed to be recognized here in the United States. And we're spending billions of dollars a year, I mean federal taxpayer dollars every year, on cancer research conducted and controlled by the AMA. And once in a while, they come up with a cure. Once in a while, some guy stumbles across another cure. You know, he got 14 now. And most of these 14 cures have been found by the medical establishment. They're not found by carpenters, plumbers, and electricians. You can rest assured that George Gordon's never going to find a cure to cancer because I'm not looking for one. Now, there are people out there that are doing that. And so they go out and they smell around, and pretty soon they come up with it and say, hey, look at this. These peach pits do it. It's called Laetril. Why? Laetril is about as obnoxious as street cocaine, crack. Why, it's against the law. They came along and they outlawed that. Now, come to find out, you see this Laetril, these are the kernels in these peach and apricot pits. That's not the only place you can get this Laetril. Laetril, in reality, is a vitamin. It's a vitamin B17. And you have to have this B17. And you're probably not going to get it down there with Big Mac and fries, you know, boiled in canola oil, GMO canola. But, you know, if you've got enough vitamin B17, you won't get cancer. So simple that is. I mean, it's like having vitamin C. You know, if you have enough vitamin C, you won't get scurvy. And if you deprive your body of vitamin C, scurvy will be the result. If you deprive your body of vitamin B17, you'll get cancer. It's just that simple. You know, there's no big mystery about it. So if you could get enough vitamin B17, you know, you could probably prevent getting cancer. And if you've got cancer, it'll cure it. And Ted Kennedy, what he needs is Laetril. What he needs is B17. He's not going to get it. I mean, you can rest assured he's not going to get it. And he's going to die from it. He has a very aggressive form of cancer. I saw in the news the other day. And he's a fighter. You know, he'll get in there and he'll fight, you know. So, I don't know what the hell that means. He's a fighter and he's going to fight cancer. What are you going to do with cancer in your brain? You're going to die, you know, like everybody else. Everybody also goes to the AMA to get cured, and that's because they don't want to cure the cancer. What they want to do is make $340,000 off of Kennedy while they're fighting the cancer. And if he happens to survive it, well, that's all well and good. But if he doesn't, well, then that's just too bad. The money's been made, and that's what we're after. So let's take a look here at the second one here. Who the hell is this guy Wingreen? And so I turned over here to page 16. So who the hell is Wingreen? Here's his background. Who is this guy who says he's going to tell you how to reorient your whole life? And why should you believe me? Well, that's a good question. You're probably aware by now that you're being lied to at just about every turn by both big business and your government. And those who aren't lying to you are probably in honest error. Well, at least we could trust President Clinton not to lie to us, right? And how about George Bush with his imaginary weapons of mass destruction? And who can forget the spectacle of the 7 top tobacco executives lying in their teeth to a congressional committee? Our politicians lie. Our lawyers lie. Our bureaucrats lie. NASA lies. Our police lie. Our doctors lie. Our dentists lie. Every industry that I've been in has turned out to be corrupt. And it's no wonder that you don't know who to believe or what to do about it. So the ostrich response is pretty normal. For instance, in the music industry, all you hear played on the radio is music from the 6 major record companies. And only one of those 6 major record companies is American. Now, why is that? Well, these 6 record companies spend about $100 million a year bribing the music directors of the radio stations not to play any independent music. Now, if you think I'm exaggerating, then you need to read Dannon's expose on Hitmen. So let me pause right here and make a little editorial comment. In every one of these little vignettes, he cites a book. Now, there's 230 of these little short stories in the book. So he's recommending here 230 different books. So if you take a look at the record industry and the music industry, the reason that you don't hear Bach and Chopin and Beethoven on the radio is because the radio stations are being paid $100 million a year in bribes to play the music that we want you to hear because this is the music that we want to sell. You see, there's a copyright on it, and this copyright runs out. And then there's ASCAP. And there's another one out there, this ASCAP. You know, this is where these artists and these people that we copyright this music from get paid. They get paid royalties. And so it's a money game is what it is. See, there's a lot of music out there that's beyond copyright, and you can play it, and you can use it, and then you can listen to it, and it's pretty good, and maybe it's a little better than what you've been listening to. But the purpose behind this now is money. Same thing with cancer. It's nothing personal. You know, if we could patent B17, why, then we might be able to use it in cancer therapy. But hell, you can't patent the stuff, and anybody can bust open a peach pit and eat the kernel. I mean, you'd have to ban peaches and apricots, you know, to keep this Laetril out. And then on top of that, you can get it in lesser amounts, you know, out of blackberry seeds. All the foods that have seeds in them have Laetril. So if you're eating foods that have a lot of seeds in them, you're getting your Laetril, and that'll solve your problem. Now, of course, if you're eating foods that have seeds in them that have been refined, that is heated, well, then that kills the vitamins. See, that's the objective here, is that we want to process all of your foods so that we kill all the vitamins. That way you'll get sick. Now, remember, a doctor doesn't make any money off of people that aren't sick. That's another point that this guy Green brings to our attention, and that is doctors make money off of sick people. So you have to have a group of people that are sick in order to sell your wares to them. See, you can't sell gasoline to a guy that's got a full tank. So you have to encourage people to burn up the gasoline so that their gas tank will go empty, so that they'll come in and fill up their gas tank. I mean, when was the last time you went to the gas tank and the needle is reading full and you said, "Hey, fill it up"? You don't go into the gas station to fill up your gas tank when your gas tank is full, do you? See, this thing doesn't take, you know, a whole lot of real in-depth native intelligence. I mean, you know, just a little common sense. If your IQ is above 80, hell, you can figure that out. All right, now let's just apply this. When was the last time you went to a lawyer just to spend money because you had too much in the bank? No, if you've got a legal problem, you go to a lawyer and spend money. So you got to be in trouble before you want to spend money with a lawyer. At least that's the way I've always been. So if I don't have any trouble, I don't go to the lawyer and spend money just because I've got too much in the bank and I need to unload a bunch. And the same thing's true with a doctor. You know, I don't go to doctors just because I've got too much money in the bank and I need to go spend some. I go to a doctor when I get sick. So, you know, doctors aren't dumb. Lawyers aren't dumb. Lawyers then say, well, since the only way we can get these people to spend money is when they're in trouble, we need to give more trouble. And since the only time people go to the doctor is when they're sick and in pain and hurt, and then we have to create more sickness, more hurt, more pain, so we can get more people to come to more doctors. I mean, it's just the way it is. Now, in the magazine and newspaper business, Stan, sales are almost totally controlled by organized crime, which skims about 50% off the top, and so it goes. Now, we can thank Prohibition for building the organized crime industry. And now the so-called war on drugs is pumping billions of dollars into its growth and expansion. And, of course, government loves it. So why should you believe me about health and what's my game? Well, I'm 81 years old, and I was born in northern New Hampshire, a little town called Littleton. My father was a pioneer aviator and my mother a commercial artist. She painted magazine cover art back before color photography was invented. Now, I know what it is to live without electricity or plumbing, to have to go downstairs every morning to start a wood fire in the kitchen range, and to walk through the rain or morning dew to the outhouse in back of the barn. Our water came from a spring up on the hill by a quarter of a mile of lead pipe into a big jar in the cellar. Then we had to hand a pump on the sink to pump it up to the kitchen, and a closet around the jar in the cellar to keep the food cool. Now, we did have a telephone, and we were ring three on a party line with 10 other families. And today I have a voice line, a fax line, an internet line, a special low noise radio interview line, and my wife Sherry has two voice lines, a fax line, and an 800 number for her how to dance video business. We live in balmy southern New Hampshire because he couldn't stand those northern winters. And I got interested in amateur ham radio in my teens, and this interest has provided me with a lifetime of adventure and fun. So I keep trying to get anyone I can interested in the hobby. And every item on my I've Been There, Done That list, which can be found on my website, could make an interesting chapter. But I'm much more interested in bringing health and wealth and maybe even happiness into your life than bragging about myself and my adventures. My goal is to provide you with the keys to change your life and then do my best to get you to actually use them. And that, I know, is going to be my toughest sell. We're all creatures of habit, even when we know that our habits are going to kill us prematurely. By breaking some old habits and making better ones, or new ones, you can add many healthy years to your life. Then I hope I can convince you to use that extra time to help others and to change your town, your state, and your country for the better. All right, so I'll pause right there. This guy, Wayne Green, is an evangelist who wants you to stop smoking, stop drinking, and stop chasing wild women and give up all the fun and frolic in life so that you can live to be 81. Now, I'm just exactly the opposite. I'm not an evangelist, and I don't give a damn what you eat and who you chase or what you drink. How do you like that? Now, I'm not opposed to this guy. In fact, I read his book, and I thought it was damn good. In fact, he's got other books out there. I think I'll read some more of them as time goes by. I'm going to review them. But this fellow, Wayne Green, he's like preachers and other people that take a look at these problems, and they say, well, we've got to make changes. You know, they look at some guy that's fat, and they say, my God, that guy's fat. I've got to go talk to him and get him to reduce. I'm just the opposite. I look at a fat man go by and I say, I'm going to observe that guy. I'm an observer. I like to observe people. And I observe people and I watch them and then I look at their results. And then I ask myself, well, do I want to do that? And my conclusion was, no, I don't think I want to do that. And I smoked for many years and I enjoyed every puff. I don't think I ever had a bad puff on a Roy Tan cigar. I smoked Camel Studs for 9 years. I don't think I ever had a bad pack of Camels. I thoroughly enjoy smoking. I think smoking's wonderful. Feels good. It looks good. It's kind of chic, you know. walking around like Humphrey Bogart with a weed hanging out your lips, kind of dangling down there at a 45-degree angle. Looked kind of cool to me. And then one day I got to looking at that, and I thought about it for a while, and I got to reading some literature on it, and I said, oh, my God, this stuff's killing me. And I'll tell you what really got me going on smoking. There was a guy, he had cancer in his throat, and I had to cut his lower jaw off. I mean, his whole jaw gone. And then he had to have reconstructive surgery. I guess they put a plastic one back or something like it. And this guy, he didn't have a nose. His nose was gone. And so he had to breathe, so they cut a hole in his throat. And he's got this rag, or, cloth, not necessarily a rag, but a cloth, around his neck like a scarf. And that's to cover up the hole, because this hole, if you look at somebody's nose, it's pretty artfully done. You know, God had to make a hole in your body somewhere so that you could inhale, so you could get oxygen and air, into your lungs. And so God designed your nose so that it would kind of cover up this hole, this black hole that goes into your body. Well, the doctors haven't gotten that far yet, and so this hole was in this guy's throat, and it was pretty damn ugly. Just to be blunt, it was pretty damn ugly. Well, this guy was still smoking, and so when he wanted to take a drag, he'd stick his cigarette up to the hole in his throat to smoke. I thought that was really weird, watching this guy, and he was talking. And, of course, he couldn't talk. He didn't have, and so what he had was a little instrument, I don't know, some electronic thing. And he would put this electronic thing up to this hole in his throat, and he could make sounds through this hole in his throat or around his, whatever his mouth was or something. I'm not quite sure, but it really sounded weird. It was kind of like, like Star Trek or something. And this guy would talk, and he could only talk when he was exhaling into this electric machine in order to make sounds, which would then, come out like some kind of word. And it was really weird. And I looked at that, and I said, no, I don't want to do that. And I quit smoking. I saw that, and I said, I think that's enough motivation for me to stop smoking. Now, this guy, even after the surgery, even after he has to talk through this voice box machine, is still smoking through the hole in his throat. And I took a look at that, and I said, no, I don't think I'm going to do that. Well, this guy Wayne Green comes along over here. Now he's got some 200 books that he has put into just a short paragraph, in which he then tells us the answer to this AMA thing. See, he doesn't have the whole AMA charter that you have to wade through. He just took just this one little clause out of it and said, here's the bottom line to the AMA and cancer right here in one paragraph. I like that. I like it. And then if I want to know more, if I don't believe the guy, if I think he's lying to me, I can go read the whole book. This is, well, read it for yourself. Here's the source of information. So there's that story. So who is this guy, Wayne Green? He's an evangelist, and he's out here trying to get you to give up these things so that you can live for a long time. I'm not doing that. I'm a reporter, and I'm here to report facts. And then let's see if you can make your own decision. Yeah, that's you. Why don't you just decide for yourself whether you should quit smoking or not? I don't know if you should quit smoking. I don't know if you should quit going to the whorehouse. I don't know if you should get a divorce or not. So what I like to do is just report the facts. And boy, this guy's got a lot of neat facts. And so let me give you a reminder here, and then we'll come back and take a look at some of these neat facts so that you can make better decisions. How's that? Meanwhile, you are listening to The Law Hour, an editorial review sponsored by the Gordon Law School of Isabella, Missouri. The Law Hour is heard 7 days a week here in the United States, and we're heard in more than 112 countries worldwide daily over the Internet and radio. For more information about The Law Hour and editorial review, please go to our website at georgegordon.org. That's georgegordon.org. The law school teaches family law, tax law, courtroom strategy and procedure, business law, agricultural law, civil rights, and biblical law from a scriptural perspective. That's 8 schools in all. The law school is a private, nonprofit, non-sectarian law school, and it's open to individuals by prearrangement. The law school conducts a homeschooling program for adults on compact disc, and the Law Hour website is updated every week. It has our radio log schedule and archives, and that can be accessed through the website as well at georgegordon.org. All of these Law Hour programs are archived on the Internet by title and date for your listening convenience. The Law Hour is an educational service brought to you in the public interest, and the law school offers a free 4-hour introductory CD package. Be sure to order yours by calling the law school at 417-273-4967. Again, that's area code 417-273-4967. Now, the sources of information that we use on this program are true, accurate, and correct to the best of our knowledge and belief. The Law Hour and editorial review gives credit to those authors and publications that we use on this program, and we often endorse or recommend books, papers, periodicals, and newsletters to our listeners. Now, these endorsements or recommendations that we give do not mean that those authors or publications that we endorse are necessarily going to reciprocate. Keep in mind that most of these authors and publications cited here on the Law Hour and editorial review may be hostile, political, religious, economic, sectarian, racial, or ethnic partisans whose viewpoint may not be totally endorsed by the Law Hour and editorial review. These opinions, beliefs, comments, views, and expressions that you hear on this program are mine. They're mine alone. They don't necessarily represent the views or the beliefs or opinions of the advertisers, sponsors, management, or staff of this radio network or of this local radio station. Now, if you'd like more information about the Law Hour and Editorial Review, then please go to our website at georgegordon.org. That's georgegordon.org, or you can call us direct at 417-273-4967. And if you'd like to get a copy of Mr. Green's book, which I haven't read much of yet, but just the first two items in here, I think, are worth getting the book for. The guy's name is Wayne Green, and the name of the book is called Secret Guide to Health. Simple enough. Secret Guide to Health by Wayne Green. Now let's see if there's a place where you can order it. I suppose I should have looked this up before I got on the air, wouldn't you say? Oh, yeah, there it is right here. It's on page 236. If you want to order a copy of this book, you can order it directly from Mr. Wayne Green. And that's a pretty good idea. And his address is Box 360, Hancock, New Hampshire. Hancock, New Hampshire, 03449. And I think if you were to call the guy, his phone number evidently is 603-588-0107. He also says, Governor, Senators, Congressmen, all this fuss over drug prices, drugs for seniors, for medicine, Medicare, and so on, are all totally unnecessary. Just get the public, including seniors, to stop putting poisons into their bodies, and they won't feel any need for drugs. If you'll alert all of these people to the huge prescription drug scam, one person won't make a big dent in overcoming the medical industry brainwashing of the public with their partners, the well-bribed media, by way of billions of dollars in advertising. Now, we don't need new drugs. We need to get people to stop thinking that they need these drugs and getting them to live a healthy lifestyle. That's the first step. Let the professional politicians you keep reelecting know that any illness can be cured by a lifestyle change. If they're not being thoroughly bribed by the medical industry, you may actually get their attention. And you can write them, fax them, email them, call them, visit them, keep the pressure on. If they show any signs of interest, let me know. And for $10, half price, I'll send them a copy of my health guide with your compliments. This is not a minor battle. We're up against not only the $1.5 trillion so-called healthcare industry, but once they become aware of what's ahead, the huge farm conglomerates, the meatpacking giants, the sugar industry, coffee, alcohol, cigarettes, and packaged food. Let me know if you find any even partially open political minds. Wayne. So let me read that last paragraph again. This is not a minor battle, he says. We're up against not only the $1.5 trillion so-called healthcare industry. Now, $1.5 trillion, let me put you in perspective here. See, the whole national economy is about $13 trillion a year. So if you take $1.5 trillion a year out of $13 trillion a year, it represents about 10% of the gross domestic product. Let's just take 13 times 0.10. That would be 1.3. Okay, and this is 1.5, so it amounts to more than 10% of your total gross domestic product. Now, this entire segment of our economy would be eliminated when we eliminate disease. Boys and girls, if we were to eliminate disease tomorrow morning at 8 o'clock, we would have instant depression. Our economy would collapse instantly. We cannot have an end to disease too rapidly. And I want to point that out to Mr. Green, that his idea of curing all of the diseases of the world and eliminating disease is a noble thought. God love you, Mr. Green. But I want to caution all of you health fanatics out there not to get overly excited and bring this about too rapidly. Fortunately, there's a check and balance system. And that check and balance system is the healthcare industry itself. And then all of the huge farm conglomerates, that's ADM and ConAgra and others, and then the meatpacking giants, like Swift and Armour, and the sugar industry, the coffee industry, the alcohol, the cigarettes, and the packaged food industries. Thank God that we have all of these big, huge, humongous industries that will be acting as a counterpoise to Mr. Green's proposal that we eliminate all disease. Now, I want you to all understand that George Gordon is not in favor of eliminating all disease too fast. I'm with you, Mr. Green, on eliminating disease, but I don't want you to do it too fast and wreck the economy in the process. Let's do it slow and easy, shall we? So we don't get too excited and cause bigger problems than we've already got. Now, that's a fundamental difference between Mr. Green and I. He's an evangelist, and I'm a reporter, and I wanted to give you the other side of the story. Okay, see, not only is there a health side to the story, there's also an economic side to the story. Okay, so let's be intelligent people. So I'm going to circle off the AMA charter right there. That was a good one. Who the hell is Wayne Green? That was a good one. I like that. He's an old man. He's 81 years old. And there was another thing I discovered by reading his book, and that is he's got lots of money. Yeah, he's got lots of, he's been selling his book, and he made a lot of money off of it. My experience with selling books is the same as Mr. Green reported. He said that he doesn't make any money off of selling books. In fact, if he was selling books, he'd starve to death. And I got to agree with him. I tried that. I tried selling books. And then I starved to death selling books, and I found out that there's no money in it. And so I don't do it. And so if you write me a letter and you say, Mr. Gordon, I heard that story on the air, and I'd like to buy that book, I just send your money back. I send you over to Barnes & Noble, the bookseller guys. So Mr. Green made his money in business. And that's why I picked right up on this. See, this Green guy is a businessman. And I said, oh, my God, no wonder this guy can think, walk, talk, and chew gum and do it all at the same time. Number one, he's 81 years old, so he's been around the block three or four times. And then number two, he's already made his money in business, so this guy's met a payroll. This guy can count. This guy understands profit and loss. Politicians don't. They've never met a payroll. They don't understand balancing a budget. It's not part of their job description. And so the proposals that come out of the mouths of people like Barack Obama and John McCain and Hillary Clinton, if you've been sitting there as a businessman like me saying these people have their heads right up their derrieres, it's logical, it's understandable, and that's because these people are politicians, they're not businessmen, and then when you read this guy Green's book, you know, all of a sudden you say, wow, this guy makes sense. So if you like common sense, you're going to like this guy's book. So let me put another little plug in here. It's the Common Sense book. I like this guy's common sense approach. I didn't care much for his evangelistic zeal, running around out here trying to save all you people with cancer, save all you people, you know, from fluoride, tobacco, flows whores, and things like that. I mean, you know, it's noble. I agree with him there. It's a noble cause. But it's totally impractical, and it's impractical because of human nature. Human beings have five motivators. It's vanity, jealousy, lust, greed, and fear. You're not going to convince people that they should give up something as pleasurable as cigarettes. Well, not for something as illusionary as good health. And then that's because the guy that's smoking is already in good health. And the cigarette smoking makes him feel even better. Why in the hell would you want to give up something that feels good and makes you feel better every time you do it? You know, it's like giving up sex, you know. It feels good, and it makes you feel good every time you do it. Why would we want to quit? Well, just because you're like liable to get AIDS, herpes, or VD off of this old gal out here, you know, that you met down the bar. Nice-looking gal. You know, come on, let's be reasonable people. Now, there's a story in here called Mass Murder, the AMA's Bloody Secrets on page 116. So I'm going to flip over here to page 116. I'm just going to pick out little vignettes over here, just little pieces. And I caught my eyeball over here. Listen to this. The AMA's Bloody Secret. Step aside, Adolf Hitler, you piker, because you only killed 12 million people. Uncle Joe Stalin and Mao did a lot better than that. But the American Medical Association's secrecy on raw food has, I believe, outdone all of the mass murderers of history combined. And that includes Genghis Khan. Now, this guy Green says that the American Medical Association has killed more people than Adolf Hitler, Joe Stalin, and Genghis Khan and Mao Zedong combined. Well, let's see if this guy can back up that boast with any real evidence. But that isn't their only bloody secret. And there is no question in my mind that the American Medical Association has to have known for over 10 years of a patent was granted back in 1992. Now, this is a proven, patented, no drug cure for AIDS, malaria, Lyme disease, syphilis, herpes, and any other blood-carried disease that's caused by viruses, microbes, parasites, and fungi. All right, now I'll pause right there. I want you people to hear that one again. The American Medical Association knows of a patented process. This isn't some quack now that went over here and came up with some wild new idea like eating peach pits. See? Now, this is a patented process discovered by the American Medical Association. It was discovered by their own guys, see? But it was discovered that it works. And we can't have that. We can't have it. Because it screws up our balance sheet. Let's try this. Let's suppose you're the head of the Exxon Corporation, and you're drilling oil wells, and you're pulling oil out of the ground, and you're refining it into gasoline, and you're selling that gasoline worldwide. I mean, you got gas stations all over the world, and you're getting $4 a gallon for this gasoline, right? And you're making good profits. In fact, you're the most profitable industry in America. You're the single most profitable corporation in America, and you make $40 billion a year. All right. So I walk up to you and I say, Bob, chairman of the board of Exxon, this gasoline is so damn expensive, the average Joe six-pack can't afford it. So what we'd like you to do, we would like you to put in pumps in your gas stations nationwide and you'll be the first corporation to do this, first oil company, to put in hydrogen dispensers for hydrogen-fueled cars. And this hydrogen is going to sell for $2 a gallon, half what you're selling your gasoline for. This will give the American public an opportunity to fill up their cars at a regular gas station where everybody knows where they can go to buy fuel for their cars, except instead of buying gasoline, they can buy hydrogen. And that way they'll have a choice. If they want to pay $4 a gallon for gasoline, they can buy your Exxon gas. If they want to pay $2 a gallon for hydrogen, they can fill it up there. And hey, you'll make the same profit per gallon selling hydrogen at $2 a gallon. You'll make 20 cents. The same percentage that you're making for selling $4 gas, which is 40 cents. Every time you sell a gallon of gas, you make 40 cents. Every time you sell a gallon of hydrogen, you'll make 20 cents. All right. Honest to God, do you think that anybody in his right mind that's running a business like Exxon would buy into such an insane proposal? Would you? Would you do that? You know, if I was a shareholder in the Exxon Corporation and I heard that the CEO of Exxon was going to put in hydrogen for the benefit of the American public, I'd vote that SOB out of office. Instantly, I personally would form a shareholders revolt. You know, people that are in the business world are in business to make money. Now, if some competitor wants to sell hydrogen, let him go build his own damn gas station. Let him go out and market his own product. I'm sure as hell not going to do it for him. You know, let's be intelligent people here. Now, if the AMA is making $340,000 off of a cancer patient, and there's 14 cures to cancer out there, we're in the business of promoting our own cancer treatment. We're not out here promoting the cancer treatments of somebody else that's cheaper than ours and would put us out of business and would be a vital competitor. You know, the Ford people aren't selling Chevrolets. The Dodge people aren't out selling Fords. The Mercedes people are not selling American cars or Japanese cars. The Japs are selling Jap cars, the Germans are selling German cars, and the Americans are selling American cars. That's what competition's all about. And the AMA is selling their own product. All right, now with that said. So why again? Well, it's a money issue, of course. Hundreds of billions to trillions of dollars in potential lost drug sales. So just as when Dr. Lorraine Day, Dr. Bruno Combi, and other doctors discovered the simple raw food cure for cancer and any other illness, including AIDS, the medical industry has kept this news from both the public and the doctors. And they're at it again with this electrical cure for AIDS. With trillions of drug dollars at stake, the loss of 100 million lives is considered to be trivial. An acceptable loss, considering the stakes. 40 million people now have AIDS around the world, and 25 million so far have died. In law, this is called murder by depraved indifference. It's also murder for profit. Now, there's a cure for AIDS. Patented cure. Patented back in 1992. And what it is, just briefly, you take your blood out of your body, and you run it through a machine. This has to be done in a hospital. You know, you got to have the right kind of medical equipment. I mean, you know, this isn't something that you just want to do in your kitchen, you know, at the kitchen table. But what you stick a needle in your arm and you suck the blood out of your body, and it runs through this machine. Very simple process. And you pass the blood through ultraviolet light. Ultraviolet light kills viruses and pathogens. It's the craziest damn thing anybody ever thunk up. But it's what you do every wash day. When you wash your clothes, you stick them out on the clothesline, and the ultraviolet rays of the sun kill all of the pathogens in your clothes. Did you know that? You don't get that, you know, when you dry them in the dryer, but when you hang them out in the sun. Some guy got to looking at that and said, oh my God, why don't we just take people's blood? I mean, they got AIDS in their blood, see? They've got these pathogens in their blood. Let's just run it through a machine, expose it to ultraviolet light, kill all the pathogens, and in the other arm, they put the blood back into your body. So they pull it out of your body over here, run it through the machine, expose it to ultraviolet light, run it back in your other arm, and by the time they've run all your blood through, they've cured you. That's patented, for crying out loud. I heard about that years ago, but this guy Green says, come on, wake up now. So with 50% of Americans not expected to get cancer in some kind of some kind, and 93% of those expected to die as a result, and with 100% of us predicted to get cancer by 2020, and with the medical industry now averaging $350,000 per cancer case, this is a $40 trillion bonanza. That's $40 trillion, spelled with a T. Double that by 2020 unless the cat gets out of the bag about these simple cures. Now, the major media making billions from drug advertising are not about to blow the whistle on the biggest scam in history and wreck their part in the gravy train. So you can forget about CBS in 2020 and 60 Minutes exposing this because they ain't going to do it. They'd stand to lose all those drug and food ads, and that could put them out of business. Now, the United States Postal Service has threatened me with huge fines if I make mention of any details in anything I send through the mail, and this AIDS cure discovery, or reveal any particulars of the patent which was granted as a result of the development of this technology. So I can't give you any details. But there are books written on the subject, and you go get the books, if you want to. I mean, if you think this is a lie, why don't you go prove that? Go prove me a liar.
Now, if any group decides to sue the AMA and its members in a class action suit for murder by depraved indifference, I hope the Postal Service and their officials will be included as accessories for murder. My vision was of mass-produced electrical stimulators, which would cost under $20, being able to quickly stem the millions of AIDS and malaria deaths in Africa. And I'm thankful that the medical industry chose to stop me from getting the word out to the public by way of the Postal Service, rather than by way of a fatal heart attack, like the one that killed Bob Beck recently. So much for freedom of the press in America. When Dr. Bob Beck, a physicist friend of many years, read in Science News that a small electrical current passed through the blood had been found to prevent any pathogens living in the blood from being able to reproduce and thus die, he built a simple device to test the idea on some AIDS patients at a nearby clinic. Bob showed me a stack of clinical reports proving the total elimination of the HIV virus. Well, let me pause right there. That's on page 116 and page 117, talking about the patented device, you know, for killing pathogens. These kinds of inventions have been made by medical professionals, you know, throughout the years, over the past 100 years. Like chelation was discovered by the American Medical Association. And they have buried chelation just as far as they can, and that's because chelation threatens to destroy the heart bypass industry. I mean, if you could melt the if you could melt the plaque out of your arteries, why would you want to have a $100,000 operation if you could do this chelation thing, you know, for $1,000 or $2,000? So let's be intelligent and pragmatic people here. This guy's book, now remember, is called The Secret Guide to Health, Wayne Green, Barnes & Noble. Simple enough, isn't it? Hey, let me give you a reminder here that you are listening to The Law Hour, an editorial review sponsored by the Gordon Law School of Isabella, Missouri. Remember, The Law Hour is heard 7 days a week here in the United States and in more than 112 countries daily over the Internet and radio worldwide. For more information about The Law School and The Law Hour, please go to our website at georgegordon.org. Again, that's georgegordon.org. The law school is a private, nonprofit, non-sectarian law school. It is open to individuals, but by prearrangement. All of these Law Hour programs are archived on the Internet by title and date for your listening convenience. And the Law Hour is an educational service brought to you in the public interest. All right, our time's up. We've got to leave it right there. So we'll see you back here tomorrow night. Same time, same station, God willing, of course. So until then, thanks for listening, everybody, and good night, friends.